Blog
Hi,
Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Golden Speaks, and welcome to our very first show. And this show, we will discuss what's called The Roots. We do have a special guest today. Her name is Pamela Coleman. She has her own blog, which she will discuss and let us know much more about. We're actually going to discuss many different things about, you know, what's going on in today's world. So we have, we're going to discuss about entrepreneurship amongst Black families, homeschooling our kids, which is becoming a lot more popular. We're also going to talk about the natural hair movement. We have a lot of our friends, including Pamela herself, who has transitioned to natural hair. A lot of Black families are going to a vegetarian or vegan lifestyle. And we're also going to discuss redefining the definition of Black beauty in today's society. So, we're just going to allow her a moment to go ahead and call in so that we can go ahead and get started. Okay, and it looks like she's here. Give me just one moment. Hello, Pamela.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to Golden Speaks. It's a pleasure to have you on our very first show. I was just letting all of our listeners know about, you know, what we're going to discuss today in the title of our topic, which is called The Roots. But if you can just kind of introduce yourself, let everyone know about your blog, and, you know, and what you focus on, please.
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name's Pamela Coleman. You can call me Pam. I have a blog, and it's entitled Curls and Whatnots, and you can find it at curlsandwhatnots.wordpress.com. And mainly what the focus is, it's on the natural hair journey, but it's the emotional side. I feel that there are a lot of bloggers and vloggers out there, much appreciated, by the way, that are giving out wonderful tips on hair and how to treat your natural hair. And I wanted to take a different approach, and I wanted to communicate with ladies who are dealing with the emotional side of returning natural, and that's what my blog mainly focuses on.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much again for being my very first guest. You know, we go back a little bit, but let's go ahead, and I just want to just briefly talk about the natural hair movement itself. What made you decide to go natural?
Well, that is a very, very good question. The reason I returned natural is because of my daughter. She's growing up, and I didn't necessarily want to relax her hair. I didn't feel like she actually needed it. And I thought, hey, what's going to end up happening is she's going to start following the trend. And there's nothing wrong with following trends, but I wanted her to know that her hair was fine just the way it was. But who was going to show her that if everyone out in the world has straight hair? Who's going to be that constant reminder that it's okay to wear your hair curly? And so that's why I started my journey, because I was like, well, she's going to look at me every day. And if mama's hair is not curly, she doesn't see the point of wearing her hair curly. So that's why I went natural. Yeah.
Well, that's a great reason. Just from a personal standpoint, I myself, I'm not natural at all. However, my daughter is natural. And she's 9 years old, and it is the hardest thing. It's so much maintenance. It's very hard, to be completely honest. I have thought about relaxing her hair or doing a texturizer for every day I think about it. But what products do you use? How can someone easily transition from permed hair to natural hair, or it's very, very hard. So if you can just kind of speak on that as far as, you know, what's the best products out there? What, how do you maintain it? How do you make it manageable? How do you make it presentable? Because, of course, and I've always worked in corporate America, and natural hair is still, it's not like a presentable hair or an acceptable hairstyle. So what do you do as far as you and your daughter's hair to make it manageable every day?
Okay, sure. So with my daughter's hair, I wash her hair maybe once, maybe twice a week, but mainly like once a week I just wash her hair. I have a detangler that I use called Sheer Moisture. Mm-hmm. They make wonderful Sheer Moisture, really, their product line I love. So I use that as a detangler for her hair and for her, because I don't like to put a lot of products in my hair, so I don't put a lot of products in her hair. I use a basic coconut oil, castor oil mix for moisture and for shine. And I just two-strand twist her hair. I might braid her hair, and you take that down, and that's mainly it. There's not too much that you have to do to it. As far as maintenance goes, if you want to do tiny twists, you can do tiny twists, and those can last a couple of days. So her maintenance is, I understand the maintenance of it all. We think about all the stuff that we have to do to it, but once you get used to it, it's not too much maintenance. Like, I'm used to, I remember having relaxed hair, and I had everybody do everything for me. So as far as me washing my hair and actually maintaining it, I got out of practice with it because I just went to the beautician to do that. But once you get back used to that, it's not really maintenance. It's really just you deciding and you having, in my opinion, you've made up your mind and you made a commitment that you're going to take care of your hair. I don't use that many products either. I use a Sheer Moisture curly pudding. I use the kids detangler on my hair sometimes. I just co-wash with a conditioner. I put leave-in conditioners in afterwards, and I do my same oil mix, castor oil and coconut oil for my hair, and I twist it up, and that's it. That's all I do.
Well, that's really good info.
I just wanted to speak to what you were saying about the corporate hair thing.
Yes.
You mentioned something about that, and I think it's really important that we take that back as well. I understand a lot of people don't feel comfortable wearing their natural hair in corporate America, but we're never going to feel comfortable until we do it. They are going to accept it. The more we wear it, the more they're going to accept it. And that's my opinion. But if you still want to go natural, but you don't want to, you feel uncomfortable, you can always flat iron your hair. You don't have to put chemicals in it. Just flat iron it if you want to. Put it in a bun or tie it back. Mm-hmm. All different types of styles. Still natural.
That's very true. Very true. The more that, you know, more women take a stand to actually say, you know, this is my natural hair state. You know, and this is my hair and this is how it's going to look, then they will start to accept it. So that's a very good point. As far as, you know, I did want to also talk about the definition of Black beauty, like in today's society, because everyone has a different viewpoint on what they consider as beautiful. But just far as African-American beauty, like accepting natural hair or, you know, wide waist or, you know, whatever the case is, how do you teach your kids about accepting their own beauty, even though it may not be beautiful in society?
Well, what I tend, with my daughter especially, I have some good friends that have gifted us with wonderful books that talk on hair especially. But I mainly tell my daughter, her name is Leah, I talk to her about her skin color, and she knows that she looks different than other people, but I talk to her in very real terms, and I tell her that's not who you are. you know, who
right.
you are is Leah. You're not brown. That's not who you are. Your brown skin complexion, that doesn't make you. And so you have to let children know, or you have to remember yourself, what makes you you. As far as, like, accepting Black beauty, I've always been very thin. And it was hard for me growing up because in some parts of the Black community, thinness is not what is most attractive in some parts of the Black community, not all.
Right.
And
right.
so I had to accept, right, that's how I was made. This is just the way my body is. And someone
right.
is going to appreciate that this is the way my body's made. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter if I'm skinny, if I'm quote-unquote thick, if I'm a little bigger than that. Someone somewhere is not going to appreciate the beauty that is within me. So I have to accept it myself. And so
sure.
I just focus on, you know, in me who I am. God didn't make any mistakes on me.
Right.
He didn't make any
right.
mistakes with my DNA
exactly.
or anything. and that goes for your natural hair as well. We were born with natural hair. He didn't make a mistake
yeah.
in your texture. He did not. Now, thank goodness that there have been all these things that help us maintain our locks and
uh-huh.
that can help straighten them out, but certainly. No, he didn't make any mistakes. So you have to appreciate your texture the way it was, the way it was created, and accept
mm-hmm.
that. If you don't accept it, no one else is going to accept it. That's the
exactly.
main thing.
Exactly. Now, speaking of, you know, being thin, because we always associate thin with, you know, lifestyle, diet, exercise, things like that, you have turned vegan all the way, correct?
Yes.
So, that's great, and it takes a whole lot of discipline to do that. I myself, you know, was pescatarian for a couple of years or more, but being vegan is a whole other level. So what made you decide to become a vegan?
Well, I can tell you the journey started at first was very after I had my son. To be honest, not a lot of many people, they don't know this, but I had some and it was once those medical issues cleared up, I noticed it was due to certain things that I removed from my diet, mainly meat.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that real quick, mainly
yeah.
meat.
uh-huh.
And then after that, we did a little bit more research because I was vegetarian for several years before
mm-hmm.
We decided to return to go vegan. And it was just gaining that more information. The goal was to always be vegan, but we took
mm-hmm.
the first steps, and that was just removing meat from our diet. And then when we realized
right.
the health benefits that came from removing dairy and, you know, removing all the eggs and stuff, like all those things out of your system as well, It was clear to see that we made the right choice. It is not easy. It was not easy, but once you become disciplined, it gets better.
Yeah. I think for myself, it was all about trying new foods, trying new recipes, because growing up, especially, you know, Black, we tend to stick to what we know. You know, and that's, you know, hog maw and salt pork
mm-hmm.
and, you know, all these things when we cooked. The vegetables was not a huge part of my upbringing unless it had those in it, like greens. But when you cook greens, you add all of the, you know, the bad stuff to it. And when you make sweet potatoes or yams, you put all of the sugar and the butter. And so those
yeah.
healthy vegetables that come out of the ground, we, you know, remixed them and, you know,
yeah.
made them into not so healthy items. So for me, becoming a vegetarian or a pescatarian, mainly I had to learn how to cook my foods properly. And with doing that, I had to learn how to make them taste good. Because if it does not taste good, you know, we won't eat it. So what type of vegan recipe, like what's your favorite and most delicious vegan recipe that you make?
Oh, that's a horrible question to ask me, because I'm my favorite vegan recipes are my vegan cookies, vegan chocolate chip cookies that I make. That's my favorite recipe. But okay, outside of that, one of the recipes that we've come to really enjoy actually is kind of really, really simple, and it's a vegan green bean casserole. My husband loves it. And with that, you know, a lot of people are familiar with the traditional recipe. You know, you add the cream of mushrooms, but with that, you're making your mushroom, you're making the cream of mushroom yourself. So from fresh mushrooms, chopped up, you're adding all those spice, all that spice and everything, you're doing that, and we make it. It's so delicious.
Okay. Well, what do you use for, like, do you purchase, like, the egg substitute or the milk substitutes or ice cream? You know, everybody makes, you know, they have, like, vegan cheese. And do you purchase those, or do y'all just strictly just don't eat it?
Okay. So, for certain things, we do purchase them. Like, here's one thing I'm never giving up is my grilled cheese sandwiches, okay? I'm not giving it up. So I had to find a cheese substitute, and that we use chow cheese, and it's delicious. And so I use that. Now, for milk, we do substitute. We almond milk or cashew milk, we do that. Egg substitutes. We don't really do egg substitutes. On occasion, we'll have a tofu scramble, but that's not mainly our breakfast. We eat a lot of fruit, a lot of oatmeal for breakfast, you know, different things, shakes and smoothies. You can have those for breakfast. So we're not – and let me say this. You can have veggies for breakfast. So turnip greens, collard greens, mustard greens for breakfast. So, yeah, we do the substitutes. And if, because it helped with their transition as well, because we had to transition them also. So we do use some substitutes, but not all the time.
Okay. So what about, speaking of your kids and transitioning them to the vegan lifestyle? They're homeschooled, right?
They are homeschooled. We just started that a year ago. This is our second year of homeschooling. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's great. I think that a lot of Black families are transitioning back to, you know, where the father or the man in the household, you know, works, and the mom, you know, stays at home and takes care of the kids and the family and homeschool their children. So what made you all decide to homeschool versus sending your kids to you know, regular, like, public school or private school?
Oh, absolutely. Well, actually, they were in a Christian Academy before I decided, and to be honest, I had not thought of homeschooling them. What happened was I was looking at, after they left the Christian Academy, they were going to be transitioning to a different school. That school only went up to the first grade. So I was looking for their next school. And when I looked at this other school, I was thinking, okay, well, I want them to kind of keep the same things that they were initially taught, foundations at this Christian Academy.
Yeah.
So I found a really, really good Christian school. And what happened was I looked and I saw all these a la carte, what they called classes, and they were for kids that were homeschooled. And I said, homeschool? Who want to homeschool their kids?
Right.
So I started doing research on it, and next thing I know, I'm two years in deep in research, because I take my time, and I just made up my mind that, hey, I looked at all the benefits that were going on with homeschooling. I saw the opportunity to take my hand firsthand and helping them learn different things and teaching them things. And I don't know, I just felt that tug to do it, and I never looked back after that. Maybe a little bit when they started fussing with me, but for the main part, I'm fine with homeschooling,
Okay, so are you going to, or have you and your husband decided to just homeschool throughout, you know, until they reach college level, or have you all thought that far along, or, you know, do you have like a game plan of how long you're going to actually homeschool your kid?
You know what, that's a very good question, because there are all different levels. You can homeschool your child through elementary and then send them to middle school, or through middle school and send them to high school, or all the way through. For me and my husband, the goal is to homeschool all the way through high school, and then let them attend college. But at the same time, we're going to take it one day at a time, because it's a possibility, you know, even though we choose it, it's the best fit for our kids. Exactly.
Right.
So if one day they come to us and they say, Mom, we're ready to go to school, I'm going to put my kids in school. It's not a you have to be homeschool type thing in our household. No.
Okay. What about the social aspect? You know, because they don't have that, you know, every day hanging out with kids, or music class or art class. You know, I don't know exactly, you know, what you do with homeschool, but what about the social aspect of it, like hanging out with kids and different teachers and different cultures every day? Do you, you know, have like field trips that you take them on so that they can get that interaction with other kids at the same age level, or how do you go about, you know, having them socially interact with other people?
Well, socialization is one of the big questions as far as homeschooling, and when I did my research on it, my kids have plenty of socialization times, from karate class, dance class. We do all types of activities. We go to the park and there's other kids there. We have play dates where they are with other kids. During church times, throughout the week, they're with other kids. They have the opportunity to speak with other kids. As far as like other kids in their age, I'm okay with that. I think that's good. And they do meet kids there of their own age. You know, we take them to the museums, and they meet with other kids that are their age. We have homeschooling co-ops that get together and for that specific reason of socializing kids. But here's a question that a lot of us have to answer. You have to look at yourself. Are you well socialized? And are you only speaking to someone your age? I'm 30, and I communicate with people that are younger than me, that are sufficiently older than me, and I'm well-socialized. So that doesn't have to mainly be someone that is their age. And when I look in the schools, I think it's a great place for kids to meet other kids, so I'm not going to down the schools. I think that's wonderful. At the same time, I have to look at when do they socialize. Is it the hour that they have recess or the hour that they have lunch? Because in my understanding, as they get older, socializing during class time gets you either in the principal's office, gets you detention, you know. So you have to look at those things. That's not downing the schools. There's plenty of socialization in schools. Let me say that. I just had to look at it from a homeschooling aspect. So, yeah, our kids get socialization. Yes.
Well, that's good. And I think, once again, I think homeschooling is great. I think that you're able to control what your kids are learning. For me, my biggest fear is, what are these other kids teaching you? What are these other, you know, these teachers teaching you? I don't know. You know, I'm not there every day, all day to find out what's going on. And, of course, you know, with everything going on in schools today, whether it's shooting or police, you know, brutality or, you know, just, I mean, bullying, all of these things that go on every day. The only reason, me personally, why I will not homeschool is because of financial reasons. But speaking of that, a lot of families are leaning more so of going into entrepreneurship so that they can still have streaming income coming in and able to homeschool or be available. Me, myself, I have the hardest time with being in management and working, you know, at a company where they don't care about if I miss my child's a concert, or if I can't attend a basketball game, or if I miss a parent-teacher conference. So what do you do as far as a source of income? Is your blog your main income? And, you know, if it is, tell us how, you know, some people can go into about starting a blog and actually get income from it.
Well, that is something that I don't do necessarily. My blog is actually personal, so it's not really a revenue income from that. So, but as far as entrepreneurship, I believe it's important for Black families most importantly, for us to take hold of these ideas that we have. Certainly, if I wanted to bring in money from the blog, you know, you can sponsor people. You can do all sorts of things as far as bringing in money. Whatever products that you want to sell, some people, they tag on to the Mary Kay, the Avon, and I think those are good things as far as entrepreneurship for black women especially. I think it's important for us to try to build those businesses for our children. When we look back at our greats and our grands, they fought for us to be able to do now the liberties and the rights that we have. So why don't we leave a legacy for our children by starting businesses so that they have something that they can inherit as well? Entrepreneurship is something that I aim at because I am writing. And so one thing I plan on doing, once I release my children's book, which hopefully will be out next year, I am going to do self-publishing, and I plan on releasing it through Amazon. And that is one way. If you have anything that you want to write, that's one way that you can start up and get some revenue coming in. So that is one thing that I am planning to do, yes.
That's awesome. And I think that some people, that there are so many other, you know, black families that are going through or, you know, transitioning into these types of lifestyles, and they are out there. They do. I remember when I first started my blog, I actually, you know, just reached out on Facebook and found blog communities where you help one another and talk about starting up your own blog, and they actually take the time out to help you and give you information and help you do the research to find out what works best for you and how to bring in income, as well as other business, you know, whatever your business may be. If it's, you know, selling combs, you know, I'm pretty sure there's another person out there who can help you, give you some advice on what they did and what mistakes happened, you know, to try to help you along the way. So I think that for black people, a lot of times we're afraid to ask for help. And especially myself, personally, that's something that I've always struggled with. I'm like, I can do it. You know, I'm a single parent. I can do it, instead of just saying, okay, I need help with this. I want to do this. Can you help me? Or, you know, can I just watch you do it for a little bit so I can learn some things?
Right.
So Yes, definitely. But I really, really appreciate, and once again, being my first guest and talking about all of these topics that we, you know, as a black woman that we go through every day, from, you know, black beauty in today's society to vegetarian, vegan lifestyles, natural hair, homeschooling our kids, and entrepreneurship, and, you know, bringing your insight to that. Please tell everyone where they can find your blog and where they can find you out on social media.
Absolutely. So my blog is www.curlsandwhatnots.wordpress.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Pam J. Coleman, and you can also find me on Instagram at P. Cole, C-O-L-E, 1023. So
thank you so much. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a wonderful evening.
Bye-bye.